So what happened when you left university?
I was articled then to with the firm in Pontypridd, and then deferred my national service, you know, to complete my studies. You had a choice in those days. You could either do your national service going straight from school, or if you were doing going to university or any further studies, you could opt for deferment. So I opted for the deferment and went in quite late then. It was early 1958. So I was in the national service, doing national service, 1958 and 59.
And tell me about what you did for national service.
I was in the RAF, and I went to the... So I did my square bashing at basic training.
The drill.
Yeah. So that was done at Bridge North in Shropshire. And then you were given a choice of various trades, you know, which you could apply for. So one of them I was interested in was the Russian language course. But then I was told that there was quite a demand for that. You'd have to sign on as a regular to do at least 3 years. Well, I wasn't all that keen. And then there was another option for Chinese, which I applied for. You had to take a language aptitude test to get on it, or we had to do that. And if you're okay, you got on it. And fortunately, I was okay. And then we were sent to the RAF language school at Puckle Church, which was just outside Bristol. And we did a year on the language course then for Chinese. And then after that, we were sent to Hong Kong for the purpose of our particular work. So I was in Hong Kong for about 8 or 9 months.
Can you talk about what you're doing there?
Yes, I'm outside the official secrets act now, I think. Work really was monitoring a radio, listening to Chinese aircraft and trying to take down as much as we could from what they were saying. A lot of it was sort of like code words in numbers. So they'd be rattling off numbers, and then you had to take all these numbers down, and they were passed then to a higher authority to analyse. The high authority were mainly Chinese people who'd been vetted, strictly vetted, that they were safe for the work. They would analyse all these details that were given.
It can't have been easy after just a year studying Chinese to do that.
It wasn't easy. We were taught after a while sort of a specialised vocabulary that would be used by Chinese airmen and by aircraft. And a lot of the time, the messages coming over were in numbers. So they'd be sort of rattling off numbers, and you'd have to sort of try and sort of write these down as quickly as possible in Chinese.
How easy was it being a Jew in the RAF at that time?
No problem. No, I don't think, I can't recall any anti-feeling at all. No, I was lucky in our group, I suppose, that,
I suppose it was very lucky. Could you maintain a kosher lifestyle there as well?
Not really. It was very difficult, but I always try to avoid meat if I could. I always sort of try to eat any fish, much in the way of fish dishes, or vegetarian. But sometimes the food in the camp was so bad, I would have to go into Bristol for a decent meal.
So you left there in, 1959, the RAF?
Yes, right at the end of 59, that's right.